All right, so we are in Proverbs chapter 25, and we will begin with verse 14. Verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all kind of, excuse me, I'm sorry. 14 is all by itself. So it says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. What are we describing here?
Disappointment.
Yeah? Disappointment?
Our weather. Well, not today, but the other night it just thundered and thundered. We had all those clouds and nothing ever happened. Finally did,
no. Didn't rain very hard sometimes.
But, yeah, I don't know.
What do you think of someone who brags about giving gifts, but, you know, they really don't? They talk about all these wonderful things they do that they've never done.
It's called a liar.
Whew, yeah.
Right. Hot air.
Hot air. What'd you say, Cody?
Promise you can't keep.
Promises you can't keep. Yeah.
So they want the reputation of being a giving person, but they don't have really the actions to follow.
Yeah. Kind of like those lying clouds in the summertime when it's really hot and they don't rain.
You can call it much ado about nothing.
Much ado about nothing. So what category?
Depending on the rain, you know, it's like, it might come.
Right? It might not. So what categories would you assign verse 14?
Lying.
Lying, good.
Pride.
Pride?
Selfish.
Selfish. Integrity.
Where's that?
It's in section 5, Scooby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I put in here so I can. Oh, I found it. Selfish. I go ahead and put the number of the verse there.
Would you also say it would go along with illusion?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pretending who I am?
Disrespect.
Yep. Verse 15.
A ruler can be persuaded through patience, and a gentle tongue can break a bone.
Okay. What are we describing here? What is it talking about?
Perseverance.
Yeah. What kind of person is persevering? The patient.
A gentle answer turned the way around.
Yep.
Change your thinking.
Yeah. Change in our normal thinking.
Normal thinking.
A gentle answer turns away wrath.
Gentle speech is very powerful.
What does it mean that a gentle tongue can break a bone?
In my Bible, it's got parentheses of resistance.
It has what?
Break a bone of resistance. Mm.
I feel like the calm and passionate person that says something truthfully but not harsh can do that with their tongue.
If you have a child's honesty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like kids say the hardest things.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like a rebuke.
Yeah.
I think it's someone who's like, they're looking for a fight and they're going to argue with you. And if you just calmly speak the truth, it like takes all the wind out of yourself.
Tell that to the White House. Just kidding.
They should have a class on that for politicians, right?
Yeah.
That's the problem. They do have a class for that. Good. So what categories then can we assign this verse that's talking about these gentle answers and compassionate responses or compassionate answers?
Self-control.
Self-control. Good.
And tongue.
Your tongue. Good. Self-control.
Patience.
That's another good one. Patience.
Influence.
Integrity. Integrity.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
I think it also could fall under peace. A person who's very patient and that gentle tongue, a lot of peace.
Peace, yep.
Aaron said kindness.
Kindness, yes. Go ahead and pass that off. Any other thoughts? Looked like you were getting ready to say something, sir.
I can't think of the word. Well, I think it's a good verse to live by when you're talking to people about the word. Especially those who may not be as apt to listen. You need to be quiet, not quiet about it, but can't push them, can't hound them about it, try and beat them at everything they say. And you got to stay persistent with them because otherwise, you're just going to think you're trying to prove them wrong, or that you're trying to point out all their sins and all their wrongdoings, and that's no way to start a
discernment.
Discernment, good.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
No. All right, so verses 16 and 17 are together.
16 and 17.
If you find honey, eat only what you need. Otherwise, you'll get sick from it and vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Otherwise, he'll get sick of you and hate you.
Hmm. What are we talking about here?
Honey.
Overindulgence.
Don't overstay your welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever done that? You ever stayed at somebody's place just a little bit too long and you realized, ooh, I probably should have left 20 minutes ago. Maybe 2 hours ago. Yes, sir. You've done that?
I like to talk, so.
Yeah. You like to sleep, too.
I like to sleep, too. Like, I'm in there playing, like, Bible studies with him. We'd go out to other people's houses, and they would catch me, no matter if we're outside or inside, falling asleep like this and taking a picture. It's been, like, 10 or 11 o'clock. Like, ooh, I gotta go.
Yeah. So what are we talking about besides overstaying our welcome?
Discernment.
Discernment. Overindulgence. What's that?
Self-control.
Self-control. Yeah. So the categories are so far self-control, discernment.
Probably disrespect.
Disrespect.
Yeah.
Kindness.
Kindness. When you are indulging that other person?
No. If you can avoid overstaying your welcome.
Yeah, that
avoid would be. Avoid eating too much, so it's kindness.
Yeah.
Neighbors.
Yeah, definitely. Friends and neighbors, both. It's good.
What about you, Rick?
What's that?
Humility.
Humility?
Oh, yeah,
that's very good. Verses 16 and 17. What about selfish?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of an act of selfishness? I don't really like to think of it that way, personally. I may have been one of those offenders.
The reason why this is a reoccurring character in all the sitcoms.
The people that stay too long.
Yes. Get out of my fridge. Why are you in my fridge? You don't live
because I'm hungry.
That gives a whole new meaning to, what's the show? Seinfeld?
Right. Okay, so the next three, 18 through 20, we want to describe kind of what's going on with each one of them, but then we'll assign them as a group, 18 through 20. Go ahead. Yes, please.
All three?
Go ahead and read all three, and then we'll go back to each one and say, okay, what are we talking about?
18. A person giving false testimony against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. 19. Trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a faltering foot. 20. Singing songs to a troubled heart is like taking off clothing on a cold day or like pouring vinegar on soda. I'd love to hear a different word.
So do we have the Amplified for verse 20, please? I think it is the one that I liked.
Like one who takes off a garment in cold weather, like a reactive, useless mixture of vinegar on soda, is he who thoughtlessly sings joyful songs to a heavy heart.
Okay. It was not the
vinegar version. Pour on a wound?
Yeah. It's a wound. Okay. Yeah.
Mine's very interesting. Mine's a singing happy songs to a sad person is as foolish as taking a coat off on a cold day or mixing soda and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why wound and soda was.
Yeah, I wonder what used. That.
I think feels baking like soda, like when you put vinegar on baking soda, it just bubbles up, but the baking
used one.
So I got a literal comment down here on the word soda, and it says. Natron, which was an old way of talking about sodium carbonate.
Yeah.
In the King James, it would have been nitrate.
Nitrate.
Yeah. Nitrate? Something like that? It's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I thought it meant like soda that you drink out of.
No.
Oh.
No, kind of like this, the baking soda that you put on. So, did anybody ever get a
school science project.
Old school science project, or even that.
Oh, I took cooking, but I didn't get to cook that much because I set the stove on fire.
Of course you did.
So
that's what tell anybody else.
Well, baking soda will put that out.
Yeah, just don't use vinegar; it'll blow up.
It was so cool, though. It pure.
So let's go back to verse 18 and let's kind of tear that one apart real quick. What are we talking about there?
Lying.
Gossip.
What is it describing that lying and gossip is like?
Like killing your neighbor.
Exactly. It's like it's a deadly thing, isn't it? So in verse 19, what are we talking about there?
Like taking it a step further, I guess. If somebody's saying something against their neighbor that usually says false things, then don't believe that person. You're leaning on something you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're relying on, like when you have a toothache or you got a cavity or something like that, or the tooth is cracked, right? It's infected. That's a problem. And you can't eat on that side of your mouth, right? So it's kind of inconsistent. You can't rely on it.
It's kind of like that story, I think, of the little boy cried wolf. He had a problem so many times, but he's like, oh, I got you. Mm-hmm. And then when he did have that, when that wolf finally came,
no one believed him, so he put himself in danger.
Right.
So I think that's what you're doing if you're like gossiping and everything else. You're putting yourself in danger that no one's going to believe you. So
just like the clouds and the wind without rain. Kind of tying them back together.
Yeah.
Good.
I like the symbol. This is like a rotten tooth and a poultry foot. It's not like it's the first time it's done it. It's not a broken or a broken tooth. It's something that's it's been corroded. It's never worked.
Yeah.
Kind of just, yeah.
It's
even down the line.
I think it reminds us, too, that the more we gossip, the more we talk like that. You know, we've been talking a lot about speech throughout the last couple chapters. I mean, that's the effect of that kind of speech. Like, you know, like you were saying, you know, it's we may think that, you know, one or two sentences isn't going to be a big deal here and there, but it really has a longer lasting effect than I think what we realize sometimes.
It seems more like action though than speech now. It's kind of like they talked about speech and now it's kind of going to the action part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the outcome. Yeah.
So then in verse 20, what are we describing here?
I saw another question. So was vinegar ever poured on wounds too, do we think, or is it just kind of vinegar does nothing for your wounds?
The only thing I can do is, it would hurt.
It's an acid.
Let's say it that way.
It's an acid, so it would hurt.
It would burn. They probably use it as some kind of like cleansing or something.
So it's
antiseptic.
Yeah, so if you pour alcohol on a wound or you pour vinegar on a wound, let me ask this. Have you ever been in the kitchen cutting up stuff and then all of a sudden you dip your hands, you know, you're cleaning up everything you've cut and it was a pickle or it was an onion and you've got little micro cuts all over your fingers and you slide that off the board, onions? What does that feel like?
Yeah.
It's hurtful, right? So when I read this, it's at the very end, at least in the NIV, where it's talking about he who sings is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. What is that describing?
Well, the easier one is the taking off clothes on a cold day, usually a bundle of.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of.
Being heartless.
Yeah.
No empathy at all.
Right. No empathy. It's actually a worthless action. So, like, if you were to go through and take off your coat in the middle of the winter, it's a worthless action, right? It's going to hurt you. Singing songs or being joyful to someone who has just gone through a heavy loss is what?
It's cruel.
Yeah, it's cruel, right? Yeah. So that's what we're describing here, at least in verse 20, this worthless activity or cruelty. So when we look at all three of these verses together, what categories then can we assign them to? 18 through 20.
Lying.
Good. Lying.
Here's one we got to use very often. Scorning.
Scorning.
Scorners is the way to phrase that.
Vinegar has antibacterial properties. One test tube study found that it was effective against killing E. coli and Staph aureus. There you go. It will also kill your beneficial worms and damage your plants if you put it a 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 vinegar to water solution in a spray bottle and spray it in your garden.
I always use vinegar and baking soda to disinfect my fruit when I bring it home from the store.
You could almost say it's an illusion. You think it's doing something, when in actuality it's not.
Yeah, it's also disrespectful.
Yep, disrespectful.
I kind of think of like you talk about like somebody who's dealing with depression or whatnot, or even like like bipolar disorder, something like that, where you're just kind of like go out and do something. Like don't just sit at home. And it's really not not helping them. They more need, it's a spiritual thing. They need some, they need prayer. And but it's not just something that, you know, you just like, oh, everything's gonna be okay. Like, listen to the song, whatever like that. It's not something you can just, somebody's gonna say something, it's gonna make it go away.
So my grandma, when my grandma was 85, she died when she was 92, 3, something like that. When she was 85, she had some back problems because she had osteoporosis. And someone looked at her and said, oh, well, what you need to do is you need to get on the floor and just do some extra. Here, do these exercises on the floor. My grandma was very kind and said, well, I'll take that into consideration. It's kind of like worthless advice, right? Yeah. Kind of driving your point to what you were saying. That's what I was thinking about when you said that.
I think this also falls under that mercy and grace, you know. It's kind of what, you know, Eli was saying, that we have to use a lot of mercy and grace when dealing with people. Mm-hmm. Just like God does with us.
Mm-hmm. Is fools and foolish kind of the same thing?
Yes.
Because that whole scenario that he's talking about is rather foolish. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. You probably really should just say not to sing to him. What else are you going to sing besides, if you're not going to sing joyful songs, you're going to sing sad songs to a depressed person?
Yeah.
That's not going to work either.
Right.
Remember American Pie?
Maybe music would help, but...
Well, no, I mean, I do think it is just talking about, like, stop, you're wasting your time, stop trying to force their heart to do something.
Yeah.
I think that's more of it. Now's not the time.
No.
Yeah,
silence is just a thing that somebody needs, just to be silent with them, just to sit there with them, and just to let them talk, or just to grieve, or to be depressed at times. You know, sometimes silence is just the best answer. We're so quick to just jump and be like, I know the thing to do. You know, I know what'll pick you up. You know, where it's like, the intentions there are, sure, they're coming out of a good heart, but the thing is, like, in the long run, it's just not going to help that person. Sometimes silence is just needed there to just, you know, be there with that person and just understand kind of what they're going through.
Isn't it interesting that oftentimes we want to stop the behavior of being sad or being depressed or being lonely, mm-hmm. grieving? And those are all things that we have to work through, especially as Christians. Mm-hmm. And followers of Christ, because if we don't work through them, we can't help others work through them. Right?
It's true.
We have to go through those things. And for someone to say, don't do that, is difficult, right?
Well, that's a failure on their part, you know, to empathize or follow even. I mean, the New Testament's pretty clear about it. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing, yes, but... Mourn with those who are mourning.
Right.
And weep with those.
That's how we do this.
Yeah.
You're good. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
It seems to me like it's just describing the person that does not produce fruit. So it's like, why are you going back to the same old thing? If you know your car didn't break down, why did you drive it? You're going to get stranded. That was an easy way to put it. I'll say that.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, the grieving thing is, it's like, sometimes people, like for me, was, this is just people being around there for me was kind of comforting for me. And now I know I had the Lord this time. It was like, I knew I could get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes grieving is different from other people, though.
Right.
It's like everybody grieves differently. Sometimes they work through with other people. Sometimes they work through them by themselves. Or sometimes they just need to read scripture and work with the Lord too. So, coming from a different perspective, grieving is, it's kind of, you gotta have, I think of grieving as like them highs and lows. It's just you gotta know what to do with the highs and the lows. You just gotta be like in the middle.
Right.
Because if you're in the middle and acceptance, which acceptance is like kind of a big word, but it's acceptance that you know Jesus Christ is there, you know He's going to get you through this. You just gotta get through this and reach out to people too.
Because
if you just isolate and grieve, it just goes down there. But if you know you're like in an acceptance state of mind, then that grieving can go. It's still going to take time, but you know that it's.
So some of this conversation about these three verses actually, if you read behind the verse, right, we are to be observant of things and not say worthless words, right? Come alongside, encourage, and sometimes, like Hannah has just said, it's just being quiet. It's just saying, hey, what's up? Right? And letting them talk, and you provide nothing.
Uh-huh.
Good. So, verses 21 and 22, let's move on.
If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him water. When you do this, he will feel ashamed of hating you, and the Lord will reward your compassion.
Okay. What are we talking about here?
Ain't telling you got any food. Just kidding.
Loving your enemy.
What does yours say, Hannah? Or Allie?
Mine says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you.
Okay. I like that picture better than yours, Tom.
Why is that it's heaped on his head? Because I just kind of think of like they're just thinking about it. It stings and it hurts, but it's just all in their mind, literally.
You're living rent free in their head.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are we talking about here?
Guilt.
Yeah. What are the actions that we are to take?
To help others when we can.
Love your enemy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Love your enemy, yeah.
To get out of our selfishness, more into kindness.
So how does this apply to, say, work?
When somebody yells at you, calls you an F word 18 times to your face, you say, okay, I'll talk to you in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Speak from experience. And then everyone likes it just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
after,
then,
lunch.
After lunch.
Okay.
I think it's that relationship of you're supplying a basic need of food and water to somebody that you don't particularly care for. It's that act of selfishness that you're not intentionally saying, oh, here, take these things, and I know it's going to make you feel guilty, but I think that it's exactly opposite of what society says today and how to treat somebody that you don't like or you're having issues with.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I think it's just not understanding where the anger comes from. That very well could be you, you know. Empathizing with them, because ultimately that's going to make it easier for you to give them food. Is if you are giving them food, give them a drink, is like, oh, this is just, you're just me with a few different decisions. So, and then going from there. And that's where the friendships and, you know, the real work happens.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That makes me think of being an example, like with your generosity, that since for in so doing, you'll reap a coals of fire in his hand, and the Lord will reward you. So just by being that example, by feeding and, you know, that kindness, like you could be mirroring to someone else what they should be doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of get out of that reap up whole coals on their head.
Yeah.
You know?
Good. So what categories can then we assign this verse to? Or these verses?
Generosity.
Generosity?
Pride.
Pride?
You can put in possibly neighbors.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Commitment? Good.
My goodness.
Goodness.
Forgiveness.
That's a yeah. Forgiveness. It's a good one.
Compassion.
Compassion.
Yeah, kindness is a good synonym for that. For compassion.
Yep. Kindness.
That's obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience.
Jesus picks this one up in Matthew 5, too. Talking about neighbor hits you, or someone that takes your, essentially asks for your coat, and like you were required to give it to them, mm-hmm. or carry my stuff for a mile. Like, I'll carry stuff for 2 miles. I got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Is there a justice component?
Yeah. Not really?
It is all the time.
Maybe an inverse justice.
Yeah. I see it as God taking the justice. Yes. You do your part, he'll do his part. And he'll
keep coals of fire on his head.
Yeah.
That's a weird kind of blessing if you're
right
up in that way. Let me bless you with some coals.
Well, your enemy gets the coals and you get the reward.
Yeah.
So God's taking care of that. All right. Verse 23.
The north wind brings forth rain. And a backbiting tongue and angry countenance.
What do we know about the north wind?
It's cold. It's tornadoes.
It's cold. It's always cold. Colder than southern wind, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about weather. These are not things I just have. The north wind, yes, cold.
When the north wind blows, it's cold. When the wind comes from the north, we're getting it from Canada, right? The North Pole. So what does it mean by a sly... What's that?
Sam movies.
Sam movies talks about the north wind and everything.
Yep.
Mr. Freeze and all that.
There you go.
There you go. Haven't you watched Elsa?
It's been a long time. That was 2014.
Hey, all you gotta do is just let it go.
Man, when we were kids in high school, you know.
I still watch them, so whatever. They're the best thing on TV right now.
I'll give it to you.
So what's a sly tongue?
Did you say backbiting?
Mine say backbiting, yeah.
Okay, backbiting.
I think it means someone who speaks words with a selfish intent.
Yeah.
I think the movie Alien with the tongue actually bites.
Yeah, there's a visual for you. Okay, that's a good one.
They were on it.
A sly tongue. I always think of like somebody that, like, you know, you're arguing with somebody and they kind of like talk under their breath and they're like making their point. It's like, my sister does it all the time. It annoys me. But that's a trigger word to me.
Good.
I like this version that says, just simply says, saying things you shouldn't bridge storms to any relationship.
Very good.
Like how simple that is.
Yeah.
Smart.
Just not watching what you say.
Yeah. Destroys relationships.
Think before you speak.
Yep. So what categories can we put this verse 23 in?
Self-control.
Tongue.
Patience.
Self-control. Patience.
You want both?
What's that?
You say you can't keep up.
Oh, yeah. So far we've said tongue, self-control, patience. Any others?
Influence.
Yeah. We have influence in what happens, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Angry looks. Patience.
About discernment and integrity.
Discernment, integrity. Good. All right, verse 24.
It says it's better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman.
I really don't know what Tom's version says.
One, two.
Yeah, it's got a good part at the end. Better to live in a corner of a flat roof than to share a large house with a nagging wife.
Yeah.
It's better to live all alone in a rundown shack than share a castle with a crabby spouse.
Wow. That's clear.
That's harsh.
It's not wife,
it's
spouse.
We had to talk to
Lily Gilio
about that one.
Spouse should be a better word than just wife.
Yeah. I made a comment on a previous proverb and heard about that one at home.
So that's the Passion version that says that?
Yeah, the Passion translation. But wow. I don't read out of it a lot. I just refer to it every now and then.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. I like that it actually includes both can behave that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that. And very clear language. It's better to live.
Yeah. But they only have translated it into the New Testament.
Yeah.
Well, in Psalms and Proverbs. I think I heard that it's a guy named Dr. Simmons. He's working on Isaiah. So eventually there's going to be an entire translation. But
interesting.
I like it sometimes, but sometimes not.
Right. Like all the translations, yeah. You know, they're English words. And that's good.
Very thankful there more than one.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. So, we'll go with the spouse word here. I still think we're outnumbered. So what are we talking about here?
Well, that's just
angry wives.
Angry people, right?
Angry people, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, when you're dealing with someone who just wants to argue and fight and nag and pick, it doesn't matter whether they're male or female. Right. From Solomon's perspective, he had 1,000 women in his life. He has certainly 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had some experience with
the crappy spouse.
Yeah. he had some good ones and some bad ones, right?
Yeah.
But when we look at this from a broader perspective, and we've said this from the day one, that we can, anytime we see something about a wife or a woman, we can definitely add that to a man, right? Most of the time. And especially in this case, if I'm picking and nagging and just being ornery and obnoxious and hateful, it would be better for her to live somewhere else, right? Because that's safe. That's right. That's what we're talking about. It's a safety issue. It's a mental issue. It's all of the things, right? What categories can we assign verse 24?
Man, husband, woman, wife.
Yeah.
Because it can go either way.
Yep.
I'm curious. So in Proverbs 21, verse 9, you flip back a couple pages, it pulls it right back to there as the same exact verse.
Correct. So, right. So.
And then it leads you pretty much. Not exactly nowhere, but if he did not, where did he go?
Well, we'll jump down the same chapter, verse 19. Does it again?
I didn't flip the page.
Yeah, it does it again.
Better to dwell in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Better to get lost than to be with someone.
Yeah. It's
better
to go anywhere.
I think
you almost
got to backtrack it, though, who your audience is again, to say these are, for the most part, unmarried royalty, you know? Yeah.
Isn't this from isn't it Solomon to 25 to Hezekiah or something, right?
So what happened in chapter 25 is, yeah, so Hezekiah was, there was a big revival going on while Hezekiah was king, and during the time the scribes found some more scrolls of writings from Solomon. And so the way I described this a couple weeks ago was that imagine Solomon, what we would call today, being a journaler. He would journal, right? So let's look at it that from that perspective, that Solomon is a journaler. He sits and he writes these wise sayings. And he fills up this book, puts it down, and just like my dad, he would open up a new one and then he'd start writing. He'd read and he'd write. He'd read and he'd write. And he'd talk to God and he'd write. He'd talk to God and he'd write. And then he filled up that book and he set it off the side. And then he opened up another one. Right? That's, so we know that from 1st or 2nd Kings that Solomon had written over 3,000 Proverbs.
Psalms.
Yeah. So in Proverbs, we have 512 of them, give or take. On the average. That's about what we're going to go through. So when Hezekiah had found, when his scribes found these, I'm going to call them scrolls or these journals, he said, you know what, that's really important for us to live by. We need to add those to the book of Proverbs. And so he added them as part of that book because they found more authored statements by Solomon. So they added them. So there will be repeats. This one comes up a lot, and it's one of those that it helps us, I think it helps us to understand how we are to behave, but also the importance of there are times when people need to be separated and divorced. And that's a hard thing to talk about in church, right? It's difficult because we all want that relationship to work. It's all based in the picture that God has created. But even Solomon says it's important. If you are living in a dangerous situation, and I think we could all say that someone who is hateful, nagging, quarreling, fighting, arguing, consistently, and there is no absolute change that puts you in danger. Solomon is very clear, following what Moses has told him and what was in the books of Moses, and even what the Lord teaches, they need to leave. And I know I'm kind of stepping out on a limb here, but I don't want to say that divorce is great. It isn't, right? It breaks the picture of what God wants for us. It is not God's will that anyone be divorced, right? It's not his plan for you. But people make choices. Just like I make choices, my wife makes choices, our kids make choices that we can't control. So I don't mean to be real heavy, but I think this is one of those places where Solomon is saying, hey, you really need to pay attention to the people that you date, the people that you hang with, the people that you want to marry. And even sometimes when you are married, you have to pay attention. And sometimes you have to make a hard decision. And living in the wilderness, being alone, or as this says, living in the corner of the roof by yourself is better.
Question on that. If I date this girl for a while, and then I make a conclusion that I want to marry her, but we go to marriage counsel and it does not work, it's better to find out there than before.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
I think, for me, it's just my belief that marriage is a huge commitment. Because you take a time out of your life to make your significant other try and commit to one another. And it takes two to work. I would pray to God on it before I make my decisions. Mm-hmm. And if he says it's not the one, then I'm sorry. I've listened to him more than another person.
That would be wise.
Yeah.
What you might say is you and the person you're going to marry
should have the same understanding
about a verse like this to say, look, God said it. We should probably not nag one another.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's move on to the next verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just want to ask that question to clarify that verse, though.
Yeah.
Thank
Good.
You.
So what categories can we assign 24?
Okay.
We have men and women. We had any others?
I put pride and selfish.
Pride and selfish.
Disrespect.
What about counsel?
That's what I
put. Yep, counsel.
What about influence?
Yep. Counsel. And why do you say influence?
Well, because God's have like a big influence on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to not. That's why I said influence. But it could be wrong.
Have we said discernment? It's good for us to be wise about the people that we date. Keep our eyes open while during the dating process.
I even say discernment about yourself to mm-hmm. say, am I being a nagging person? Is that why I'm getting the response where they want to go live on the roof rather than
yep.
staying as house?
You could definitely say that as well.
Mm-hmm. If you're talking about the other person, I also think it's selfish.
Selfish? Yep.
Yeah.
Good. We have time for one more, and let's do verse 25.
Good news from a distant land is like cold water to a parched throat.
Ah, something good to lean on. Something to refresh our palate.
Waiting for me to get that one.
So what are we talking about in verse 25?
I think a recent example of this was, you know, you always watch your news, there's this and that happening, lots of horrible stuff, but there's the conflict between like India and Pakistan, and they reached a ceasefire, and that was just really encouraging news. You know, like there's all this war and issues on the world. There's countless battles, but like now the war was averted, and there was good things going on. So that, I think a similar thing for us, our Christian lives, is staying in tune with our missionaries that we support as
good.
Well.
Maybe you think of like when you're working. Splash of cold water in your face, how refreshing it is. I suppose this time took me to the mind. Or when you're tired, you go, let me throw some water in my face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Wake up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's the same, like physically we can't live without water. I think it's the same spiritually. It's like we can't live without having some source of joy, in our lives. Like, if you just live with, nothing but people that are nagging or depression and things like that, like, you're not going to go very far spiritually.
Good.
Why does it say good news from a far country?
Yeah.
Is that different than curious. Good news from nearby?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Romans 10. This is verse 15. As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's about this picture of somebody crossing a mountain and making it back to the town, and they have the scroll in hand that says, good news, good news. We won the battle, or the war is over. It's that picture of somebody coming back into town, and I got something to tell y'all.
Well, and back then, it's not like you had this, to every 2 seconds you get an update on what's going across, the world. They had to wait months and years, and
sure.
By the time you get it, it's like, oh my gosh, here's been something that I've been pondering for the last 6 months. How are these, how's the war over there?
Yeah. That, and like what you said, often the men would go off to war,
yeah.
Right? There would be battles, and a report would come back. Good news, refreshing, my husband's still alive, right? And those refreshing, sometimes they're good news.
Yeah, you get tired of waiting for that, waiting for an answer or a response, and when you finally get it, it's like, when you're weary and it comes, it is like a...
Yeah, so when we kind of go on with that, when we are frustrated or asking for guidance from God on what to do, how to do it, which way to... And that answer finally shows up and comes, isn't that refreshing?
Sometimes.
Well... You always get an answer. Sometimes it's not the one you want. I agree.
Most of the time.
It said good news.
Yeah, it said good news.
Yeah. But it's good news.
It is good news.
We're seeing on the positive news. Side here.
The good part is you got news.
Yeah, I got news. Yeah. What categories can we assign this to then?
Blessings.
Blessings. Good.
Counsel.
I said peace.
Peace.
Good / life.
Good.
Good / center human speech. Number three there. Oh, okay. I found it. It's really hard not to jump into this being the phrase that turns into the gospel. Really, really hard.
Joy. Good. How about gift from God?
I thought
All right. Any thoughts on the evening? We're going to stop there. We'll pick up in verse 26 next week, and we will finish the chapter 25, and we'll be into chapter 26, which looks at completely different things. Our popcorn bowl is getting near to the bottom. In my Bible, I have eight pages left. All right. Pastor Nate, will you close us out tonight?
Dear God, we love you, and we do thank you for truth, for wisdom, and I pray it causes us to think wisely about our life, but ultimately that you would bless our time together, knowing that we're all trying to figure out life and all its complexities together. And I pray it would encourage us, that it would be like cold water to each one of us, to know that there are others doing this with us. It keeps us going and looking to you for the answers. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.